The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, following a jam-packed weekend of action. DRS, how you feeling here to start things off?
New week, new money at this point now, and also the NBA keeps turning over, even if your favorite team does drop out here. So we got an exciting Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals, and away we go.
No doubt about it. Look, let's get right to it then here. The 7-7 begins with Jason Tatum erasing Steph Curry from the record books just about 2 weeks later. Steph became the first player against the Kings to score 50 in a Game 7. And then Tatum last night, or yesterday in the afternoon, I guess I should say, goes for 51 in a Game 7, eliminating the Philadelphia 76ers, a 24-point rout. The unbelievable thing about this game is that it was just a 3-point Boston lead at half, and this game was over by the time the fourth quarter started.
Yeah, and the Sixers actually had an 8-point lead in the second quarter. And you hear me come on this channel many times here, Kevin, and say, like, why is the NBA putting games on at 3:30 in the afternoon? I mean, bury this thing at 10 o'clock at night so we don't have to watch the mayhem that ensues, specifically if you are a fan of a certain team. But having said that here, the Celtics were the better team in the series. They finally showed up in Game 6 and Game 7. And when you need your biggest players to step up in the biggest moments, the Celtics got that out of Jason Tatum. That's what stars do. That's why the Celtics are moving on.
We'll break down Tatum's performance, talk about the Sixers side of it, because there's a lot there. And, of course, the updated NBA Finals odds, where the Celtics are now the favorites at plus 100. Denver, Lakers, Heat in that order. Of course, the Lakers eliminating Golden State will be matching up with Denver on the other side of the bracket. But in other Western Conference news, Monty Williams fired by the Phoenix Suns just a couple of years removed from being in the NBA Finals. But this is what happens when a team makes a huge, huge move at the deadline and the end result is a second round exit. Big changes coming in Phoenix. This is one of the first of few.
It is, and don't be surprised, NBA. I can't believe they fired Monty Williams. He doesn't even have a championship under his belt. We just watched Budenholzer and also Nurse get fired in the previous weeks here. This is what happens with big expectations. Sure, it's fun to coach those basketball teams, Kevin, but if you don't realize those expectations, you're out the door.
There were a number of reports, though, where this decision largely, or maybe entirely, Matt Ishbia's, and what does that mean for Phoenix moving forward and how that organization will operate. In other NBA news, Ja Morant once again in the news for all of the wrong reasons. I guess at least this time he wasn't out in a public place. If you're trying to find any silver lining, a video once again circulating of Ja Morant with a gun. it is alleged, because I guess if you're not physically there, you have to say alleged. He has been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies from all team activities, and the NBA is currently investigating the situation.
Basically, what's happening here is Ja Morant can have an arsenal of firearms in his house. As long as there's no cameras, the NBA doesn't care. But apparently now, every time you pull out a camera, say, we're going live on IG, Ja runs to get a firearm, which I can't believe even happens. Hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake in Ja Morant's career. And it seems like, Kevin, he doesn't care.
They said that the reports from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN said this could be a lengthy suspension for Ja Morant. We are a ways away, though, from the NBA season for next year. So we'll see how that all plays out. Radio audience is with us here on a Monday morning, making it happen here on Sports Grid Sirius XM Channel 159. Taking a look then over on the ice, Donnie, the Leafs. Eliminated, not without controversy, though. A goal that looked like it would count, it pretty obviously did not. Toronto never able to recover. Florida sends them home in five.
The best part is I was out at a bar, Kevin, and there was no sound on the TV when the hockey game was being played. I watched it live. I said, well, I don't know if that went in. Saw the replays after 30 seconds. Oh, that's a goal. That's easy. 10 minutes later of replays, no goal. I didn't have any horse in the race here, but I was actually shocked at that, watching it there. And again, not listening to the commentators, just watching it silent on a TV. I'm like, that's pretty easy to say that was a goal. No goal up on the board. That was pretty impressive. And the Maple Leafs went home.
In other news in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Connor McDavid and his crew eliminated last night by the Vegas Golden Knights 5-2. Within the first 3 minutes of this game, Edmonton had two goals, and then they never scored again, Donnie.
It's a shame. Canada again. I guess they drop out completely here, the NHL ratings here moving forward, because it's another year that a Canadian team doesn't win the Stanley Cup. The Canadian teams are supposed to win the Stanley Cup, Kevin, every year, not teams from Florida.
Tough scene for them. Major League Baseball-wise, yesterday, bit of a brouhaha over at Coors Field between the Rockies and the Phillies. Bryce Harper showing passion, which led to a lot of Philadelphia faithful saying, thank you, Bryce Harper, for doing what our basketball team won't.
Exactly. And if a pitcher leaves clapping, he deserves to get some slapping, Kevin, I think is what Bryce Harper was trying to do at that moment. It was kind of interesting the way it did play out. But whenever you have frustrations like going 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position and a pitcher is clapping, yeah, you're probably going to get it a little bit, sure.
Yeah, that's how it goes. And then lastly here, remember when the Dodgers started slow? They sweep the Padres. They have the best record in the National League.
I mean, break up the Padres right now. This team's supposed to go, you know, 162-0, and they can't win baseball games. Now, see you, Padres. It's always been a Dodgers division.
We're going with the Sixers and the Celtics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, we begin in Boston where the Celtics finish off the Sixers in seven, 112-88. Before we break down the Tatum 50 ball, the no-show from anybody associated with Philadelphia, let's hear from the NBA's MVP, Joel Embiid.
You guys talked a lot about toughness and playing hard all the time. This time last year against Miami when you lost in six, did you see that through the playoffs, and did you see that sort of toughness and resilience tonight in particular?
Yeah, for sure. I think, God, man, like I said, we just didn't make shots. All of us, for the most part, we were pretty cold. And, you know, in this type of games, you got to make shots that I did, and we didn't. It's tough. I don't know.
Embiid is certainly right. They didn't make shots. 5 of 18 for him. James Harden, 3 for 11. Yet Embiid at the postgame presser saying that he and Harden can't do it alone. Well, why don't you start by doing anything and then seeing maybe if anybody else will step up around you. But the Sixers aren't the story yet. Boston deserves their credit, specifically Jason Tatum. over the last five quarters of this series, he wasn't just the best player on the floor. He hit that ceiling that we know he has, which is being one of the absolute best players in this league. Not top 10, but the guy that this year finished top five in MVP voting, finished fourth overall. Tatum was spectacular. And with the Celtics and in this matchup, when Tatum hits that level, there's just absolutely nothing Boston can do through these seven games, despite the fact it went the distance. You could tell the Celtics were clearly the better basketball team. They had their A game here against Philly, and they ultimately were able to close them out in blowout fashion.
Yeah, and you had your chances, the Philadelphia 76ers, in Game 6 with Tatum just absolutely tanking. You might have even had an investigation in Boston if he was just point-shaving at that point, how bad he actually was, because you couldn't even quantify it. It was like, hey, he went out and shot 5 of 14. Like, no, like 1 for 11s and not making baskets through an entire half and shooting over double digits, you know, per attempts. But looking back on it now, he woke up at the right time, splashing a couple threes late in that Game 6 here, forcing it back to Boston. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers, Kevin, did win two games in Boston in this series and forced a Game 7. But just the way it played out and went down is another bad look and a bad loss for the Philadelphia 76ers. If you would have came to the series, Joel Embiid was 50%, you got knocked down in 5. Most people like myself would have said, well, what did you want them to do? The MVP was hobbled here. They're not as good as the Boston Celtics, and they couldn't even fight. But the simple fact is, you had a chance in your own building in Game 6 to close the Boston Celtics out, Kevin, and I'll talk about this ad nauseum. Tatum is a great player. Brown is a great player. From the 76ers' perspective, they could have won. They would have been favorites here in the next round in the Eastern Conference to get to the finals over the Miami Heat. And also, Boston would have made changes in the offseason. Now, Boston still might do that, but the Sixers could have exacerbated that process very quickly here, because either Brown or Tatum would have been gone. You would have ended the Boston regime, and in your fashion, would have kept moving forward with a chance to win an NBA championship. That all went up in flames yesterday, with a blowout victory, hugs all around, high five, standing ovations, as if they made those two guys play together and they're going to live happily ever after. And it could have all been different yesterday, but it wasn't.
The thing is, and I get the point, it's much easier to close it out in your own building. This was a 6-point Sixers lead at the end of one, a 3-point basketball game at the break, and tied at 55 all in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And then the Sixers went on a Virginia Cavaliers-esque run of we forgot how offense works. That can't happen ever. It's completely inexcusable when you have the NBA's leading scorer who won an MVP and James Harden, who is supposed to be one of the greatest offensive players the NBA has ever seen. And Doc Rivers again blowing a series lead is hardly surprising. I am surprised that we've not been given the Doc Rivers, and Sixers have agreed to part ways news, but I'm sure that'll be coming within the next 24 hours. Harden is mentally in Houston, and I'm honestly convinced he's been there for a while, because he did a whole bunch of nothing here for the majority of this series, despite having two incredible games. But it does boil down to Joel Embiid. Fair or not, that is what happens when you win an MVP. That is what happens when you are one of the very best players in the world. Except when the playoffs begin, Joel Embiid drops off. That's the truth of it. Joel Embiid had moments in this series to seize control. And yet somehow, in the final 4 minutes of Game 6, he goes, yeah, I just didn't have the ball. That's unacceptable and is on you as much as anybody. And then in this game here, Al Horford, once again, has you in jail. That cannot happen. It's unacceptable here. And Joel Embiid's status now changes throughout this league. It's the truth of it. You're going to see changes in Philly. Massive, massive changes. But all of that constant blame placed on Doc and Harden, that was deserved. Embiid now has to wear a lot of that as well. It is no longer time for him to pass the blame like he does at the end of every single Sixers season. He probably secretly misses Ben Simmons right now, so he can't blame the entire thing on him. This is on Embiid, Donnie, more than anybody else. That's how I see this right now. And the Sixers are going to have monstrous changes throughout this offseason, but it all starts with 21.
It does. It all starts with Embiid, and still, but being the MVP, you sort of cut him a little bit of slack, because usually as a top performer, he shows up. He didn't yesterday, but neither did anybody on the 76ers. And I know we push the plate, you know, push it on Embiid, but that's the guy that's probably not going anywhere. You're not going to get a package back for Joel Embiid that's going to help the Philadelphia Sixers be a better team. They say, well, how can that possibly be? They can't get through the second round. I get that. But a lot of that, Kevin, you point forward. It's how your team actually projects in the biggest moments here. And Doc Rivers has been known to give up leads in the NBA playoffs, and he did it once again. And you can look to Game 7 and say, look, superstars have to show up. We saw Jason Tatum did. He was absolutely phenomenal. The Sixers weren't going to do anything to the Boston Celtics, because if this game had played out where the Sixers had a pulse, Tatum might have had 70 points in that game because he was that unstoppable. But I look to the head coach directly here. You're in a Game 7. You played well to start. The vibes are good. What did you talk about going into the locker room? Well, I mean, what was the adjustments that were made? Because apparently Mazzulla made an adjustment that said, hey, Jason Tatum, just keep taking the basketball. That's the perfect adjustment for the second half. And again, it worked out in spades. But the Sixers just disappeared. You can't have James Harden score 9 points. I get it. You can't have Joel Embiid score 15 points. Somebody has to step up in the biggest moments. Did I expect Embiid to go for 50? Probably not. But James Harden played 41 minutes, knocked down a couple three-point shots, loosened up that defense. Nothing happened. And again, as I say this, Kevin, opening the series, I didn't think the Philadelphia 76ers would win. But things change during the series where you go, the Sixers need to win this. And if they lose the series, it's going to be a terrible loss, which that was. Game 6 in your building, didn't handle your business. Game 7, blowout. Could it even have been a difference, Kevin? 112-111 final, the Sixers lose in heartbreaking fashion. Man, they just can't get a break, but boy, they played hard. They didn't even show up in the second half, which makes everything worse.
They lost the third quarter 33-10. And again, I really do believe that this is about Embiid. And it will be even more so true because Doc is going to be fired and Harden is leaving for Houston. I will be stunned if those two things are not true. Harden, the Harden rumors are there. The fact that Ime Udoka immediately ran to sign with the Houston Rockets, despite the fact that we have, look at the list of contenders that are going to have job openings. Milwaukee and Phoenix already. Philly seems to be around the corner. I doubt Denver moves on from Michael Malone, but we'll see how the Western Conference Finals goes. And Udoka ran over to Houston. There's promises on the table. I really do believe that. But this is now where we are once again with the Sixers flaming out in the second round. And I also don't think, because Boston is better than them, but the notion of, oh, well, what'd you want us to do? Boston is, but why is Boston better? Because of issues within this basketball team. The Celtics now plus 100 to win the NBA championship. We will continue to move through the NBA playoffs. We go to the Western Conference side of things next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Going from the Eastern Conference to the West, the Lakers eliminate the Golden State Warriors this past Friday. 122-101 was your final at Crypto.com Arena. 30.9 rebounds, 9 assists for LeBron. 17-20 for Anthony Davis. The shooting lows for the Splash Brothers continued as they went out there and shot 6 of 28 from 3 in this basketball game. Let me position this result to you like this, Donnie. When you take away from these 6 games, is your reaction more the Lakers are better than people have given them credit for, or the Golden State Warriors were overrated?
No, I actually think it's a little combination of both. We knew coming into the playoff format actually favored the Los Angeles Lakers with what they're going to go through. Injuries, veteran players, you know, coming together and gelling, and that's worked out well. But also from a Golden State Warriors perspective, I feel like we can't be the only ones, right? Because coming into the playoffs, I said the Warriors aren't even going to win a round here, which they got to Game 7. Credit them. They ended up beating the Kings under some interesting circumstances. But I think the Warriors would even beat the Lakers in round number 2. So if you're asking me on that meter, it's more some people sleeping on the Los Angeles Lakers than us going like, what did you want out of Golden State? No, we expected something out of Golden State. I didn't know that much. But the Lakers are a good team, and I do think a lot of people were sleeping on them just based on the fact where there wasn't a lot of hype. And also, Kevin, the 22 to ones, the 24 to ones to win the NBA championship, not even the betting public was trusting the Lakers.
No, certainly not. I mean, look, there were 32-1s to win the West after the deadline on the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, they were consistently booked behind the Dallas Mavericks basically until the Mavs decided, okay, we're not going to try any longer. It has taken people a very long time to believe in this Los Angeles Lakers team, which is a mistake because since the deadline, they have the best record in the Western Conference. If we all agree it's a brand new basketball team, then why do we care about anything that happened when Russell Westbrook was on it? They aren't a seventh seed. That is the reality, I think, of this Lakers team, DRS, especially considering how much time LeBron missed post-deadline. I understand that it's probably a leap people are, you know, it's a little difficult to make. But the two best teams in the Western Conference are playing in the Western Conference Finals. It is really that simple. It's the Lakers and it's the Nuggets. And the Lakers obviously belong there. AD has found the consistency with his defense to even make up for lesser scoring games, right? I mean, I know you look at the 17 and you're at, man, I want AD to give me 30 every night. He doesn't need to give you 30 every night to have that level of impact. And I thought what was most important for this, you know, game here, Donnie, is LeBron scored 30 for the first time in the entirety of these playoffs so far. He sat in only 1 minute in the first half and did not sit until late in the fourth quarter when this game was over. That is the type of stuff that we have always come accustomed to expecting from LeBron James, and he did it here with a closeout opportunity against the Warriors. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. He had plenty of help in this basketball game. I'm not positioning it like he did this by himself. He did not. But watching LeBron get up to that next level, we've not seen it for the length of a basketball game. We've seen it for moments. We've seen it for spots. He did it here for every single minute until the game was no longer in question. And that, to me, is the biggest confidence boost for the Lakers, knowing that LeBron can still turn that nozzle up here and hit another level.
Absolutely. And if you're riding the tapes back to Friday, Kevin, what was I calling for? A LeBron James 30-point vintage performance here where he was basically saying to the team, we're not going back to Golden State. And if it's on me, I'm going to live with that here because there was no way you were going to force them to go back to a Game 7 and expect the Lakers to win. Same spot the Sixers were in. You had to take your standing Game 6 and treat it as if it was your Game 7. I even think I went over like the last 15 or 20 games LeBron played. Nothing around 30 points. He was giving that honest effort, 22 points, 24 points, 25 points, 26 points in that range. But I called for a big LeBron James night, 39-9, which is exactly what you needed in that big spot in Game 6. It's what LeBron James does. And also, you're right, he actually doesn't have to give you 35-plus points a night in order for the Lakers to win, which a lot of superstars on other teams need to do. He's got a very good supporting cast, and sometimes you just have to give credit, Kevin, to the Los Angeles Lakers front office because it wasn't monster moves that they pulled off before and at the deadline. It was moves to say to ourselves, okay, is there anybody else we can lean on? When LeBron James and Anthony Davis go to the bench, can we just hang around in ball games instead of just collapsing here and our veteran players have to play too many minutes? That's not the case anymore. The Lakers are as deep as just about anybody left in the playoffs, but when your superstars are playing at that high level, you talked about Anthony Davis as well. Hey, give me the box score at the end of the game. Anthony Davis only had 17 points. Oh, look at that. Anthony Davis running and hiding in the biggest moments. Not true. Plus 31 points to lead that team in that closeout situation, which included 20 rebounds. And right off the bat, it was like, is anybody else going to get a rebound on this basketball team other than Anthony Davis? The superstars stepped up and they whipped the Warriors. And again, I want to say this. I was not surprised. On Friday, yes, it's a Lakers night. They will handle their business, and they did, and they're moving on.
Which to then get to that other part of it, though, right? Because you said it's a bit of both, the idea of Golden State being overrated. Well, that's probably more so depending on who you ask. They weren't overrated to you or to me because we didn't believe in them like everybody else. We didn't get caught up in them beating the Sacramento Kings in 7 games. I still cannot believe how many people thought that the Warriors would eliminate Sacramento easily, watch them go the distance, and then put the Warriors as Western Conference favorites going into round two. Still, truly, one of the worst pieces of booking I've seen. Golden State played three games, Donnie, at the Lakers in this series. Two of them they lost by 20-plus points. Because, oh yeah, they can't win on the road. So Golden State was still overrated by plenty of people. You know, this line for a lot of Friday was 2.5. It did climb by the close, but people just love this Golden State team. And yet now people are wondering, what's the future of this Golden State team? The notion of the dynasty is done being bandied around. And we know Steph Curry is not going anywhere. Draymond seemed like the obvious exit. And if you look at all of the reporting that has taken place since they've lost this game on Friday, the Warriors still absolutely love Draymond Green and look like they will be willing to pay him close to asking price to keep him in the Bay. The player, Donnie, that the Warriors have soured on, and I don't know if it's entirely based on this series alone, well, Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga will get there. But in terms of the big three, Donnie, it's Klay Thompson, who was awful in this series. I mean, truly terrible. And that's impossible, you would almost think, considering that he had 25 points in game one, 30 points in game two. But everything from game three on was horrendous. And he finished up shooting under 35% from the field with just 16 points per game. Initial reports are the Warriors are going to ask Klay Thompson to take a pay cut. Klay Thompson is coming off of the best season that he's had in 5 years. I don't know if Klay Thompson is going to be taking a pay cut, and that to me now becomes where the eye needs to be placed on if this Warriors big three will be ran back for next season.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe they're just painted into a corner at this point, because it's not like the NFL. It's like, okay, there's a legitimate salary cap, even though some teams do technically bend the rules. You can't keep everybody, but there's always viable free agents out on the market. And when you look at the Golden State Warriors, how far over the cap they actually are, it's basically like a double payroll here, because you're playing guys like $30 million a year to come off the bench in Jordan Poole and give you nothing in the playoffs, it felt like. And that all adds up, because even though these guys are re-upping here, you're not re-upping at veteran minimum prices. Like Draymond's going, hey, you know what? I'm a team player. I made a lot of money. I'll sign back for 7.5 veteran minimum, whatever it is. They're not doing that. Each and every guy that's coming up on the Golden State Warriors, Kevin, it feels like is close to a max contract. And those are some of the decisions that you have to make. And also from a Klay Thompson perspective, how easy is it supposed to be to you play with Steph Curry, where they run double and triple teams out all game, where your only job is, I'm going to knock down wide open 3-point shots at will here, because that's what I do. And how many games does it look like? Every game it seemed like Klay Thompson was 3 of 19 from the field, which seems ridiculous, not only to make that little amount of shots, but take that many amount of shots and wide open shots at that because of what Steph Curry can actually do. Changes should be coming in the Bay, but we've seen it time and time again. Sometimes teams hold on for just too long, and you're right. Coming into this season, high expectations for the Golden State Warriors? Absolutely. By December, though, Kevin, we were looking at them with an honest opinion going, something is wrong here. They can't win on the road. And I don't care what Steve Kerr is telling. Hey, it's a regular season. We've won championships. And so many people said, just wait till the playoffs. If they're healthy, they'll turn it on. You don't do that. If you were 500 on the road, you could turn it on. They were abysmal. And it showed up in spades early on here in the playoffs.
And the reason I hit Klay, because that to me is the big question mark, right? I think Draymond back, Steph obvious. But also I think it's equally as obvious that, you know, Jonathan Kuminga and Jordan Poole will be moved on from off of this Golden State team. Jordan Poole had a good game one, missed that, you know, would be, big time three at the end that he shot from outer space. Were they happy with the shot? They all said the right thing. But then everything from that point on was downhill for Jordan Poole, including blowing up a little tasty SGP that you had, which was not very kind when you didn't even need all that much from him. We still have a lot to get to, though, in the association. Heat Knicks, as well as Monty Williams and Ja Morant, all coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports Grid, it's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on a Monday morning. Let's not forget about Heat Knicks now. Game 6 in Miami, 96-92. Jalen Brunson's 41, all for naught. Well, that's probably what happens when you make more field goals than the rest of your team combined. On the Miami side of it, it's 47 for Jimmy and Bam Adebayo combined here. Another low-scoring game in an Eastern Conference semifinal. The Knicks did snag a cover in this loss, but I don't really think that's going to make this feel any better for Miami, or for the Knicks, rather, here, Donnie. Their best player, Jalen Brunson, stepped up, answered the bell, and I thought he was the best player in this series. Unfortunately for them, at this point, it is all but confirmed. Julius Randle is not a playoff performer.
No, he certainly isn't. As Kevin pointed out on the show Friday, every game seemingly going under the total in this Knicks Heat series, and this one once again did go under the total. But also, Kevin, I think we nailed this one, though, together on Friday. Do you remember when that line was creeping up, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5 scanning? You know what? In this lower possession game, I think the Heat are going to win, but boy, I don't really know if I want to take that many points. But it looked like for a good portion of the game, you probably should have been taking those points, but the Knicks did chip away and actually had a chance to tie that game up late, just not able to do it. But having said that, overall, the Heat by far, Kevin, were the better team in this playoff series. The only shocking thing to me is it actually went 6 games. I thought it would end in 5. But here come the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals and probably getting disrespected just like they've been every step of the way so far. But that's the Miami Heat organization. Jimmy Butler leading them forward here. A great win. And again, Kevin, here's what you're supposed to do as a home team in Game 6. Handle your business. And they did.
No doubt. Look, so if you look at the teams that have advanced, the only one that's lost a home game is Boston, is remarkable, right? But and obviously, if Philly would advance, that would have been true on the Sixers. Miami, the Lakers, and the Nuggets have all handled their business here, no doubt. I will say, if for anybody that was with us on that Friday going into this game, it is the first and only time I can remember Donnie thinking a team that would win would not cover. And they weren't laying double digits. It's the first time I've ever seen it, and I should have known that that is exactly how this game would play out. The Knicks are going to have an interesting offseason. All in all, the year was a success for them. Because in the context of, we lost to an 8 seed, but you didn't really, did you? You didn't. The Miami Heat basically have the same roster that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And I think that's something that is still being ignored, not just by folks breaking this stuff down, but the odds makers. And we'll do this a lot more in hour two and throughout the week. But Eastern Conference Series price available. Boston minus 550. I don't know why you would hang a price that you would have listed in round one. There is just no adjustment to what we are seeing from Miami. The Heat have proven that they belong here. This is their third Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. The same number as Boston, because they're playing Boston for the third time in the Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. I know, again, it has similarities to the Lakers. It's not apples to apples because the Lakers changed their roster. But the notion of the playoffs begin and you throw the records out with the Miami Heat is not cliche or corny. It is fact. It is real. It has been proven, Donnie, throughout these past 4 seasons. The Heat are a different basketball team in the playoffs. That's not just true of Jimmy Butler, but it's true of their role players, guys like Kyle Lowry stepping up, right? And it's also true of their championship head coach in Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, it's no fluke anymore, but it still feels like we are going to be priced as if it's a fluke. The FanDuel Sportsbooks, as we stated multiple times, the Celtics by far, just to win the Eastern Conference and win the championship plus 100, not a ton of value there, even though we do think they're probably the best team overall. But look at the series price here. Boston Celtics minus 550 to beat the Miami Heat. The Heat at a plus 390 price. Have we just shown here the Philadelphia 76ers not even playing great basketball, but taking the Celtics here to game seven, and also in a series you might have thought it would even be quicker to move on from, the Atlanta Hawks series against the Boston Celtics. That also going six games. So what are we looking at this game overall? Should I say this series overall? Don't be surprised if the Miami Heat go in game one and beat the Celtics here. That just feels like what's owning up, but being priced as if the Celtics are already walking right into the NBA Finals.
It'll be interesting to watch that play out. I'll make this last point here. The bubble. Some folks, you know, the haters, the losers, said that the bubble championship was won for frauds. What do you know? Same exact conference finals from the bubble, because the bubble's the best championship the NBA has ever seen. Deal with it. No. Let's talk Monty Williams. Now, DRS, Monty Williams moved on from, I know you're already going to say, hire to be fired.
Yep.
But
yes,
for Monty, where this really went wrong is the guy that hired him, right, was really no longer in charge. Well, you could say James Jones was in charge, but James Jones isn't in charge. Matt Ishbia is in charge right now. That is every single report out of Phoenix. And I think that has led to a lot of people saying, wow, what a mistake here. I can't believe Phoenix has moved on from Monty. But that would be a disingenuous take from me, because I was very underwhelmed by him during this postseason. Game number one of their playoffs against the Clippers and a loss. And the reaction was, hold on a minute. Why did you just go game seven of the NBA Finals approach here with your minutes? Why, like, do you even know that you can play any of your bench players? Are you coaching? What is the deal? What is happening here? Listen, Monty Williams seems like the most likable human being that the NBA has to offer. Monty's going to be fine and will be hired this year by a contender. He has nothing to worry about in that respect. I don't think moving on from him is actually some wild overreaction. I know that it doesn't feel good when an owner starts to check in and make all of your decisions, but I don't disagree with his decision here, Donnie.
No, you have to shake some things up, too, because you are in an all-in moment here, because you have Devin Booker, who's not speaking to the press, and maybe he wants to trade at this point. You have Kevin Durant, who's now sitting there saying, okay, well, I'm in Phoenix. What are you guys going to help me out with? DeAndre Ayton. And also, you have the new owner, the splashy new owner, because sometimes you see owners buy in as like a conglomerate. You never know who's actually the owner. You're just invisible. It's just like a gang of 10 guys up there that you can easily pick from. But Ishbia bought that team and is now center stage, sitting courtside. We know exactly who he is. He's even mixing it up with other MVP athletes during the middle of the game. So, you know, during his first 6 months in tenure, making that move personally, the Kevin Durant move, Kevin came, if we just rewind it back, it wasn't as if the GM was like, hey, let's play this nice. It was the owner bought the team, said, I'm going to play de facto GM. I'm going to call teams directly, and I'm going to make moves and decisions here, which he did. So it's no surprise, but also you're right, Kevin, hired to be fired. You can't feel bad for professional coaches. The amount of money that they make, and also they understand they are being brought in. Anytime you don't win a championship with high expectations, you will be on the chopping block. And as we saw this offseason alone, Kevin, you can win championships and still be on the chopping block. It wasn't as if you say to yourself, Budenholzer or even Nurse, hey, well, I mean, they won back in 2010, man. It's been 15 years. No, they won recently and are already gone from good basketball teams, including the Bucks. So it's not a surprise, but you're right. He's going to land on his feet. He's going to make a lot more money, and he will be a head coach again in the NBA, probably shorter than later.
Again, I think Monty Williams right now, if you made me guess a spot, my guess is Philly.
Sixers?
I know they haven't. That's my honest. I mean, there were people on the timeline yesterday before the Sixers lost saying, hey, go lose this game and hire Monty Williams by Monday morning. I mean, that was the timeline. Monty Williams is going to be fine. The thing about this, though, what this really does, and this is going to be the big shakeup here. Monty is not the scapegoat, right? So people feel like Budenholzer was moved on from, or the harsh Dylan Brooks reactions in Memphis, because we need to kind of put the blame, a lot of it, on one person. I don't think that's what's happening with Monty. He is going to be one of many guys leaving. They've already fired other members of the front office, but I'm talking on the court. Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, I expect both, Donnie, will be on different teams come next year.
Yes, and I expect the same thing as well, because you can't keep going down this path. Something has to change. Would you change the head coach? We get that, which is what you probably had to do, but also the superstar players and maybe some aging guys, but it was never a great fit here. Like DeAndre Ayton going, remember when Sarver was the owner? It's like, hey, this is really interesting. Why aren't they just picking up his option and giving him that max contract? Why are you playing hardball? And then it turns out that he hated the organization hated him, the head coach hated him, he hated the head coach, and oh yeah, look at this, we're going to re-sign you back, let's all see what can happen. And you saw how that played out, where the coach doesn't trust you and you don't trust the coach, and it flamed out for the Suns. Big changes are made, but also when you're taking a look at a team that's going to have, if we think, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you can make some moving parts in there. When an owner that's willing to dip his toes in and get into the luxury tax in a big way, I think you're expecting some good options here for Phoenix in the offseason. We just don't know where these players will land and what the compensation is going to be back. But I can tell you one thing. It's not going to be like, okay, we lost Chris Paul, we lost DeAndre Ayton, and we got a future, you know, waiver here, or two first-round picks, or four first-round picks. Like, no, they're going to get a superstar back in the fold. We just don't know, Kevin, who that superstar actually is going to be.
So I actually, I'm sure that'll be the goal, and maybe Ishbia is going to make some wild swing to make that.
He will.
Real, you know, try to make that whole. So I don't want to completely discount it. But Ayton, I don't think, is going to net you a superstar. And I don't know if Chris Paul would either. Maybe the idea is that they would be able to send the two of them out and then get the return back to get them a third guy. But if you're Phoenix, that would be very, I think that would be a big mistake, Donnie, because you just tried the, hey, we have three, you know, we have only three players, yes, and we can go win. I think that it should be, we have two top, you know, 10-ish guys. Let's just build around the both of them, right? And that's what I think the notion is going to be. Now, this is where you have to concede the Ishbia stuff is a bit concerning, in that if, because now every GM should be aware, right, that when you call Phoenix, even if James Jones picks up the phone, he's not the one making decisions. I'm trying to fleece them all day. I got Phoenix on speed dial right now, Nani, seeing if I can pull the wool over their owner's eyes.
Yes, and it's a good point you bring up, because he's in the market just getting in. He'll look back in like 10 years when he owns a team going like, man, I was really boisterous when I started in, but I let my guys do their work. I let things play out here, and we actually became a better basketball team. Because let's take a look at the two teams, Kevin, this year that really swung big for the fences with in-season trades. It was the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks. Both of those teams got a superstar player back, but completely gutted the foundation of their team. And I'm not talking about, Kevin, trading first-round picks away. I mean two or three guys that can really help in a game-to-game basis. If you reverse the roles on both of those teams, Dallas never makes a trade, they probably go to the playoffs. Phoenix never makes a trade, they might be playing in the Western Conference Finals right now. I know the league is built on superstars, and we believe that if you're going to win championships, you got to press in, and both of those teams did that. It just didn't work out, but it just goes to show you, you just can't win anymore. Like, hey, get LeBron James, get Bosh and Wade, and then we have $50,000 to spend on the final 12 guys, but it's okay, because those guys can do that. I think those days are long gone, Kevin.
And even if maybe those days aren't gone, but you can't do it in the middle of the year, right? Because at least when, you know, Miami's big three or any, you know, superstar collection, you have then in the rest of the offseason to be like, hey, look what we got. Do you want to come play with us, right? Phoenix mm-hmm. or Dallas would be a powerhouse in the recruiting of the let's go win a title core, you know, free agent group. Well, that group's already signed when the season has started. Yeah. As we close out the hour, we'll hit on the Ja Morant news here. It is the early line on a Monday morning on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the hour, number one right here of the early line. Ja Morant yesterday finds himself suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies from all team activities, and is now going to be investigated by the NBA again. For those that did not see, Ja Morant with some friends on Instagram Live and again decided to pull out a gun. Allegedly, you have to say allegedly, I guess, until they can confirm it. If you see the video, you see the screenshot. It's clear as day. It's very obvious. And the big report now comes from Adrian Wojnarowski, suggesting that the NBA will be considering a lengthy suspension for Ja Morant.
Yeah, give him a four-month suspension, which would be perfectly in line for him playing game one for Memphis next year as the NBA, you know, starts their season off. But having said that, I don't know where this is coming from for Ja Morant, because you did take the time off here, and it seemed pretty simple to me. It's like, okay, let me get my life back in order, which means don't flash guns out in public. Don't flash guns on your Instagram account. Don't flash guns on social media. Just be a little bit more responsible. You know, you have hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here. Just be a decent human being here off the court, and everything is going to work out in your favor. And you see him getting right back to the tactics, which used him to catch all that scrutiny with Memphis middle of the season. There's a lot of time that this can be rectified before the season starts. But Kevin, is it just never going to be that way? Is the NBA going to say, okay, I'll suspend you for 10 games? It didn't work in the past when he basically missed 10 games by himself because he wanted to correct the issue.
There have been a lot of very bizarre reactions, though, from people on this story, which I guess isn't all that surprising. But, you know, there's been some people saying, oh, well, it could be a legal firearm. Listen, Ja Morant was suspended for basically this exact thing, right? Then said, listen, I'm going through stuff, offered up many, many apologies, right? Tried to have these long sit-down conversations, show contrition, and then immediately ran and did the same exact thing. That suggests there's a problem. And that's, I think, as well, what needs to be looked into. Stanley Cup playoffs start hour.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.